Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Our bodies are so weak and so frail. One day you are right, and the next day your world is turned upside down. One day you think you're going places, the next day you stop dead in your tracks. Hallelujah. You got to learn to give it to God. Because it's His anyway. What is life? It's His anyway. I got it from Him. I'm going to give it back to Him. Let's look at something very different than I normally teach and preach. I'm going to preach about the mark of the beast tonight. Y'all ready for this? I don't normally talk about the mark of the beast. Y'all going to get shook up tonight. Let's go to our text scripture in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Oh, my. I'm going to give you my 2 cents on this. It ain't worth a whole lot. Thank the Lord. It's not. But at least I'm going to tell you I don't have but 2 cents. A lot of these guys proclaim they got a $4 bill or something, but I don't have, it's just 2 cents. I'm just sharing with you some thoughts I have, and you can take it or leave it. Revelation 20 and 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Millennium reign as we know it. And then after that period of time, the Bible says that the devil will be bound 1,000 years, and then he'll be loosed for a season, a little while, and then the end will come. So even this 1,000 years is not the end. The end will come after this. I want to talk about the marketplace. Yeah, the marketplace, the battle of the marks, the market, not the shopping centers, M-A-R-K-I-T, marketplace. Lord, I'm thankful for your word tonight. I don't know what I'd do, where I'd be, who I would turn to. I feel so many times like Peter, as he said to you, Lord, with whom shall I go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. So if I don't get words from you, I have no place to go. I have no one to turn to. I don't even want to live if I don't have your life, because your word is life. And I thank you for your word. It was made flesh and dwelt among us, and you gave that life that we might have this life abundantly. Amen. Help us to understand this and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. The market place, the market. Preaching of the mark of the beast, and I see I'm already behind time, so bear with me. Preaching the mark of the beast was very, very popular in the 70s and the 80s. Do you remember that? It didn't matter where you went. There was a revival. There was somebody that was bringing to you the mark of the beast, and some actually made their circuitry, if you will. They actually had about 2 messages, but boy, they got to preach thousands of times. And some of those that actually preach this mark of the beast so strong, I don't know what they've taken it now. I don't know. They don't even believe what they once taught. I don't know. And so in the 70s and 80s, it was a very common sermon. I remember going to church, and they said, everybody come to church, bring a can with you, a fruit can or Del Monte, whatever. And they were going to show you on the barcode that was, you know, that was the mark of the beast, was right there when you're going to buy and sell. And you remember that? Y'all lived long enough. Okay. And then there was, along came these microchips. Oh, that's going to be it right there. They're going to, I'm not doing that. They're going to put a chip under your skin right here and or in your forehead. Well, people are too vain for that. I'm just going to tell you right now. That ain't going to happen. There ain't going to be put no chip in your forehead, have a little bump sticking up there. You think women are going to go for that? All the men will take it and the women won't. No, it's not going to work. But they when this came along, that was a theory, you know, because you know why? It was new and it was different. And it looked like it had a place of evil. So they said, this is going to be it, this chip thing. And so many preachers preached about that and the scanning of these barcodes and things because it contained a number. Man's number is what? 666. That's the number of man because he was created on the sixth day. Okay, so it's been preached about the microchip being put in the forehead and in the back of the hand. And if you take this mark, then you will be damned forever. And it didn't say anything about who you worshiped or anything. It was just whether you took the mark. And much of this dissipated over time that we don't really hear much about this like we used to. And in fact, it would not draw the crowds that it used to draw. Do you know preaching can be fashionable too? Whether you know it or not, styles of preaching can be fact. But I still go by the cross. I don't know. That's still the only thing that works is the cross. Preach it, slice it any way you want to. But if you don't end up at the cross and start at the cross, you got to start there and you got to end up there. Then preaching is in vain. But the book of Revelation is a very prophetic book. And in that it's prophecy, too many times people take it literal. It's a book of prophecy, is it not? I mean, this is a book of prophecy. It's not a book of literalization. It is a book of prophecy. So we have to be careful when we read the book of Revelation that we don't make everything literal. And we make spiritual what we want to make spiritual. We make literal what we want to make literal. So I want to try to give you, again, my two cents about the symbolism in the book of Revelation, the difference between the abstract and the concrete. And if we're not careful, we'll get so literal, we miss it altogether. And so just hear me out tonight. The place of the mark was depicted in here. It says the marketplace was the forehead and the hands. And I want to talk about that marketplace a little bit tonight. And first of all, we need to understand what the real meaning of a mark is anyway, right? If you're going to take a mark, you need to know what a mark is. And Mark's not the, my wife's married to Mark, but he's made his mark in our lives, and we'll never forget Mark. But mark is simply the ability to be able to trace something. Right. If you put up something in your deep freeze, you mark it. It can have frost all over it, and you scrape it, and this is peas, this is butter beans, this is deer meat, this is squirrel. You mark it. And you mark it, and that's the place you mark it. You mark it so that you will know what it is, right? That's really what the mark is about. It's a way of tracing. It is a way of being able to differentiate and to separate things out. So that one thing marked like this, you said, okay, that's this. No, that's this. This is what the mark is really all about. And so it's not a literal number of the beast. It's not a 666. It's not really the name of the beast, but it is the mark. It is the target of the beast. It is the goal, the desire of the beast is to get you to worship him. So that if you worship him, it separates you from God. So that is his mark. That is his goal. That is his desire. His desire is not to put a chip in your forehead and in your hand. That's not his desire. His desire is to get your worship. Even on the mount, when Jesus was tempted, what did Satan try to get him to do? Take his mark and worship me. And so, therefore, if Christ would have, he'd have left a mark. All right? So even Job, when you talk about a mark, even Job said that he felt like he had been set up for a mark or as a target, and his enemies were shooting like archers. They were shooting at him. He said, they have set me as a mark. I am the goal of what they're trying to accomplish. That's what he's saying. So let's take it for what the meaning of it is, the mark of the beast, is more about taking on a distinguishing characteristic that will separate you from the children of God. So that there's the children of light and there's the children of darkness. And we need to know the difference. Well, it's the mark. It's the mark. So the mark is nothing new in the Bible. We read it mostly in Revelation, but I will tell you that the distinguishing mark between the wicked and the just goes back to the days of Adam and Eve. So when you go back to Adam and Eve, you find that they had two sons. And one killed the other one. And the Lord wanted to separate them. And so he put a mark upon Cain. Let's read this real quick, and I have these scriptures for you. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, this is Cain, and from the face and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond, a wanderer, if you will, in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me, they'll trace me, they shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, now watch this, whosoever slayeth Cain, this is going to be the mark. It's the brand. Whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him seven times or sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him, trace him out, should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He was divided. He was separated from God. He took a mark, if you will, that separated him from God. And dwell in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Interesting enough, he takes a mark. He still finds a wife. And had kids. So many commentaries have speculated about this mark that Cain had. I endeavored to look up a few of them. Some say it was a slash in his forehead. It was something that set on top of his head. But let me tell you, all of you got a mark. You got a reputation. Your reputation will precede you. Oh, I already heard about you, brother, before you got here. See? I heard about you too, and you too. And see, your mark is what you are. And so when Cain would go to town, they already knew about Cain. Lest any man find him, he said, okay, I'm going to give you a mark. Anybody that slays Cain, seven times the punishment he got will come on you. It separated him, you see, from all the other people of the world. Are you understanding this? So God set this mark upon him for a purpose of protecting him and separating him not only from the presence of God, but from other people lest they would kill him. So the mark is used as a separation tool even for life and death. In this case, the wicked one, the wicked one was marked, but the righteous will also carry a mark. Okay, because I'm going to talk about the battle of the marks. And so there is a mark of the beast and the mark of the blessed. People ought to know you. Your reputation of living for God, that's an honest man. That's a good man. That's a loving man. That's a compassionate man. You ought to have a mark about you that separates you from the rest of the world. Now watch this. Let's read Ezekiel 9 and 1. Very prophetic also. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men. What's the man's number? All right. Six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, a club, a stick, a spear, a sword, something for slaughter. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, and the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, which he had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, now watch, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that have been done in the midst thereof. Go find those men that are sighing and crying and repenting and have visited the altar, and those that are aware what's going on and they're sorry about what's going on. Find those that and begin at the house of God. Mark them. Now, in your mind, if you get too literal, you'll think he's got this inkhorn by his side, and he comes up to you and he's putting these marks on you. And you're scared to wash it, lest somebody kill you. You get too literal, too carnal. But what he's doing, he's separating them by their sighing and their crying, and these will be set aside, and they will not be slaughtered by the six or the world. And the others, he said, that don't have this mark, they aren't sighing and crying, and they're not repenting. He said, in my hearing, go ye after them through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. This sounds like judgment day. Slay utterly, old and young. Didn't we read they're all going to come up? Rich, poor, beggar, doesn't matter. In the sea, out of the sea, under the ground, they're all going to show up. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. Wow. You're going to know them when you see them. You're going to know their mind when you see them. And begin at my sanctuary. Judgment begins where? At the house of God. And where did it start in the house of God? At the altar. Then they began in the ancient men which were before the house. So the first mark that we discussed was more like the mark of the beast that's based upon man's disobedience. In Cain's case, he was disobedient and he was marked or separated from the presence of God. But the mark of the blessed. So there's a mark of the beast and there's a mark of the blessed. So the blessed one and those that were obedient to God also received a mark. So in both cases, there was a mark that was received, but the ultimate goal was the destruction of the wicked. Right? It was the salvation of the righteous and the destruction of the wicked, or the separation. So now we have this first occurrence where instruction was given to where to place the mark. So the marketplace that was first mentioned was the forehead. And the forehead is always a place of constant reminder. Right, you can't forget. You put a post-it note, you won't forget it. You will not forget it. It was a place of constant reminder. Even in Moses' law, they put a frontlet on their forehead. So why? The law would be in front of them both. They're not going to forget it. So it was a mind thing. It was a mental thing. Mark them in their mind so that we serve God with our mind. This is how we serve God. You're going to know I serve God because the way I think. Because the way I think is the way I talk. So the forehead was this place of constant reminder, and it deals with the mental part of serving God, which we serve him, as Paul said, I serve God with the mind. But with the flesh, he said, you know, it's another story. It wants to serve evil. This passage of scripture is very symbolic of the beast, which is represented by the six men that are holding these slaughter weapons. They want to destroy everybody who does not have the mark of the blessed. But this man who has the inkhorn is the anointing. So that when you receive the anointing, nobody going to mess with you. David had the anointing. The giant didn't have a chance. And they were separated because there was repentance going on. There was a sighing and crying, which we should have in the land today. Do you know this world is sick? Our country is sick. Our churches are sick. And if we're not careful, we're sick. So this man didn't have a marks a lot that he went around striping people. It was a sign. That was a mental sign that you know the righteous. Let me tell you, many times people have said, oh, I can tell a lady that she served God, but I don't know about the men. I'm telling you, I know the men too. You can look at a man in a heartbeat and say, this man is a godly man. It doesn't take long. Or not godly. So when we get to the book of Revelations, we see some reversal of this mark. But the goal is the same, which means separation of who you worship. So when we read Revelation 20 and 4, now we're going to go back to our text scripture and go from there. I saw thrones. Now, hopefully this will help you better understand this revelation. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, I don't know what the days will come. I do not know. But I know this, there's a lot of people in the early church lost a lot of heads. I don't know where we're going. But it does say that these will be headed for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. And, you know, they were charged, don't speak in that name. They didn't care they did the miracles, don't use that name. Because when you use that name, it shows who you worship. and which he had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So now we find this other marketplace. In the Old Testament, it's talked about the forehead. Now we find this hand. And a person's hand is used for their labor. It's what you labor with is your hands. If a person doesn't have hands, they have a very difficult time laboring. And so this mark in the forehead, in the hand, is meaning not only who you worship with your mind, but who you labor. What vineyard are you working in? Who do you really serve? Who you work for is who you call Lord, right? That's who you call Lord. And whoever you call Lord, that's your master. And that's who you worship. So if you receive the mark of the beast in your hands, then that what it means is that you are laboring in the wrong field. You're working for the things that even the Bible tells us about the ministers. Don't get away from that filthy lucre. Don't labor for money. Labor for souls and be worthy of your hire. And I fully believe all that. So your livelihood is what's given over to the beast. And, a lot of people talk about a lot of things they've done in life, but they don't talk about much what they've done for Christ. You labor gives you the ability to buy and sell. Unless you live in America. Revelation 13:15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now watch this. He had power. Satan, the devil, Lucifer, the old dragon had power to give image to a person, which was the image of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak, he's going to be a man, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Sound like it's going to get rough. Just as Jesus was the expressed image of God, so will this man, the Antichrist, be the expressed image of Satan. And he will have power to look like he's God, but not be God. And as Christ was the Son of God, he is the son of perdition, which means the son of utter destruction. So we read what Jesus said in John 17:4, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, Judas, Satan, entered in, that the scripture might be fulfilled. There will be a man that will be the Antichrist, and there'll be a political and it will be a religious figure as well. And the religious figure will give his power to the political figure so that the governments will worship this man. Because he's going to be able to solve all of our world problems. He'll have all the answers to get us all out of the problem. So that in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that ye should not be soon shaken in mind or in trouble, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, this day of the Son of Perdition manifesting himself, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The falling away, I'm telling you, I don't care what denomination you name, it's on the decrease. People don't go to church anymore. They don't. They